O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. How many of you have ever been joyful? Anybody here ever been joyful? Thank you. Or another similar question, how many of you have ever had a good belly laugh? Absolutely. Thank you. I am Alan Warren, and today's message is entitled, Surrounded by Joy. And I want to thank you, even though while it's warmed up a bit today, for the courage to face coming out, considering how cold it's been this week. And today, we will look in a little bit of detail at this passage from John's Gospel, the wedding at Cana, and also the importance of being a supporting cast, like I believe Mary was, to help others claim their gifts and talents. Can I tell you a little story about me today? I love Leon. Yeah, you do, but you know. The suntan, I'm very conscious of, you know, that getting wrinkles and, you know, skin cancer. So I kept my hat on and wore suntan lotion. Thank you. Speaking of in the sun, this summer, and I think I mentioned before, Margot and I went to Presque Isle Provincial Park. It's south of Brighton and southeast of Belleville, not far from some very good friends of ours who live in Napanee. So we called them up ahead of time and said, you know, would you like to come on out for supper and a campfire some night? And they said, sure. So when the day came, we were sitting there just kind of waiting, and we saw this old RV making its way around the loop that we were camping in. And lo and behold, when it came closer, we recognized Mike at the wheel, which was amazing because we hadn't realized that they had bought an RV. And so they decided to come out for the night, which was wonderful. Because when Margot and I get together with Jeannie and Mike, they have a special little box that contains Skip-Boo cards. So we always have three or four rousing games of Skip-Boo as we catch up on things. Surrounded by joy. It was a wonderful evening. So my question for you today is, think of a time or an event in your life when you felt you were surrounded by joy. And tell it to someone you usually don't talk to. Introduce yourself and share your joyful story. Go. Good morning, good. Please stop. Thank you. I'm curious, did anyone's story today involve a wedding? Somebody? That's awesome. Thank you. Wonderful. Congratulations. That's great. Could be your own niece, nephew, maybe an anniversary. Something to do about a wedding. Because our story from John's Gospel today involves a wedding. And he and his mother and his brothers, it says, and his disciples were all invited to this celebration. And it's a beautiful introduction to Jesus' public ministry. Now, I have an interesting question for you this morning. When you were growing up, what was your image of church and the people who came to church? Solemn, thank you. Anything else?
Boring.
Old, thank you. Boring, thank you. Anything else? Teetotalers, yes, thank you. Anything else? Do you remember that? Do you remember being told, you be good today, or you're in big trouble when you get home? Do you know what I mean? So it made you think that life was incredibly serious. And you better be serious too. So here, at the beginning of Jesus' public ministry, we have a picture of Jesus at a wedding. And the comment is made at the end that this was his first miracle. And the disciples, do you remember what was said next? Thank you. Believed in him. It was a joyful event. First picture, please. Absolutely. Singing and dancing. Celebration. It was at a joyful event that the disciples begin to become curious. Who is this guy and what might he mean for his life? And I think that's a huge message for us as the church. When we reach out and interact with others, we too need to be what? Thank you. Be joyful. Doesn't mean you're always smiling, but you know, try and be joyful. Do you remember this old saying? You can catch more people with honey than vinegar. Thank you. Honey's sweet. Vinegar's what? Sour. Absolutely. So this week I have a challenging exercise for you. I want you to attempt to wear out your cheek muscles by smiling. Okay? You know, smiling at people when you get to meet them. Second picture, please. If you notice here, people are in a what? A circle. Absolutely. So in a circle, everyone is what? Joyful, happy, thank you. Maybe included. You know, so that's the image I wanted, a sense that everyone is included in a circle. So sometimes, yeah, someone, thank you. You noticed that. They're all women. Yes, thanks. So we have to work on that a little bit. You know, and also we need to be conscious as a church, because we are a circle, you know, that we leave what in the circle? Spaces when we invite others to join in. Now, the seasons of the Spirit made an interesting point about Mary's role at this party. Has anybody here ever tried something new? Anybody tried anything new? Thank you. Were you totally confident when you did it? Thank you. No, a bit nervous maybe. Has anyone ever had to give you a push? Or dragged you to something, and afterwards you went, wow, that was okay. You know, I'm glad I went. Now, if you said yes to any of those things, maybe you can relate a little bit to Jesus in this story. We always think of him as fully confident, always knowing what to do. But remember his words, my time has not yet come. This is Jesus' first miracle in John's Gospel. Maybe Mary can be seen as a supporting cast in this story, encouraging Jesus to venture out and try something new. Do you notice how she lays the groundwork? She tells the servants to do what? Thank you. Whatever he says. Okay? Now, I have Did your mom ever encourage you to do something new? Was she ever the person kind of pushing from behind out the door? Well, that's Jesus and Mary in this story. Now, after this first miracle, Jesus is then more able to take up his own ministry of teaching and healing. Wow, I can do this. Do you ever think that through this story, maybe Jesus is awakened to the gifts and the power he had within him to make something new? And maybe, just maybe, this passage is a reminder for us to be attentive to the people around us in our life. How can I encourage them to try something new? To spread their wings a little bit and discover the new gifts and talents within them? Like, hey, have you ever thought of playing the drums? Were anybody asked that question? You know, and now we have a wonderful drumming circle. Now, from that point of view, John's gospel is a good fit with the letter Paul writes to the church at Corinth today, reminding them that the Spirit's presence is shown in some way in each person for the good of all. We all have gifts and talents. Some of them might even be buried within us. We've all had to take those first steps. What gifts and talents do you see in the people around you? And how can you be a supporting cast for them? To be a Mary? To encourage them to venture out? Like she did. For Jesus to take his first steps into a new and bright and active tomorrow. Now, I had a really good laugh reading the paper this week. Does anybody know Sarah McLachlan? Ever heard of her? Thank you. What is she? A singer. Thank you. So what should she be used to doing? Singing. How about standing up in front of people? Do you have to stand up in front of people if you're a performer? Well, thank you. I saw this title in Thursday's Brantford Expositor. Sarah McLachlan hopes to overcome her terror, not fear, terror of public speaking when she hosts the Junos. Think about that for a moment. Here's a woman who's used to standing in front of thousands of people to sing, play a guitar, and she has to overcome her terror of public speaking. As she says, I know it seems ridiculous because I stand in front of thousands to sing and talk, but that's when I'm in my moment and playing music. It makes me wonder, who was Sarah McLachlan's supporting cast? Who was her Mary's to help her get over her fear of public speaking? Can anybody remember way back to before Christmas? Doesn't it seem like a long time ago? No? Seems like yesterday. That's good. I don't know. It just seems a while back. Time's flying. Now, I have a challenging question for you today. What is the third Sunday of Advent? Thank you. It's joy. Absolutely. Hope, peace, joy, and then love. And it is marked with a different candle. Do you remember what color it's marked with? Pink. Absolutely. So I'm really glad here we are about 5 weeks into the new year that we have another scriptural reminder of the importance of joy in our life. Singing and dancing at a wedding, a celebration, or the joy of being part of an old-time sing-along here at the church this afternoon at 2:00. You know? Invite a friend. Music helps to boost one's spirits. You know, it helps you to tap your toe a little. And if you have The Observer, there's an article in it about how music can touch people with dementia. You know, the importance of music for people with dementia. Now, William Barclay, fairly, you know, old commentary on the New Testament, says that in John's Gospel, there's always a surface story, and then there's a story underneath. So there's the story at face value, the joy and celebration of a wedding, being with family and friends, and then there's a deeper meaning. In Judaism, seven, the number seven, is symbolic of being complete, perfect. How many days in a week? Thank you. Do you remember what God did on the seventh day? Thank you. He rested. Number six is an unfinished number. It's incomplete, imperfect. Do you remember in John's Gospel, it's written for a Greek audience, and it was written probably 50 and 60 years after Jesus' death and resurrection, and the church was actually in a period of conflict with the synagogue. We need to remember that. And part of it was because the Romans had come and destroyed Jerusalem. That had already happened. They had revolted. Jerusalem was destroyed. Do you remember how many water jars are in this story? Thank you. Six. There's six water jars. William Barclay wonders if that stands for the imperfections of the Jewish law and that Jesus came to do away with and in its place put a new wine of the gospel of grace. Now, does John mean for you to take this story literally, do you think? I don't think so. I want you to think about this for a moment. How much water was in each of those jars? Thank you, 20 to 30 gallons. So if you've got six of them, how many gallons of wine is that? A lot? Like a lot, a lot, a lot? Now, Nazareth is a small town, okay? Even if the whole town was invited, you think they could drink that much wine? They could try. Wasn't that a party? Remember that song on the radio? They could try, but no. You know? It couldn't be drunk. And that water was used for washing people's feet when they came in. Okay? Get the dust of the road off. It was also used to wash your hands in a proper way. Ceremonial law. Now, John was saying that when it comes to love and grace that is available to people in Jesus, there is more than enough, that it will never run out, that it's like a spring of life-giving water. Remember the woman at the well in John's Gospel, chapter 4, that never runs dry, and there's nothing you can do to separate yourself from the love of God. Do you think that's good news? Yeah. Absolutely. There's nothing that can separate us from the love and grace of God as found in Jesus. And it'll never run out. Now we have to be careful though. Do you think you can find the love and grace of God in other places? Yeah. Absolutely. Christianity hasn't cornered the market on the love and grace of God. But it is a religious tradition where you can find that well, that water. Now, when talking about this story, we need to be careful not to draw meaning from the story that Christianity supersedes Judaism. Okay, it was written in a time of conflict with the church. Has Christianity ever been legalistic? Do you think so? Thank you. Were any of you grow up in the day and age where there were rules about what you could and couldn't do on Sunday? Can you tell me what some of those were? What couldn't you do on Sunday? Shop, thank you. What else? You had to sit in the parlor or do nothing? There you go. Okay, thank you. You had to be quiet. Anything else? No sports. Thank you. Anything else? No Sunday shopping. Thank you. No playing cards. Except my family did. There you go. There you go. Well, no what? Couldn't go to the show on what? Didn't go to work, exactly. It was a day off, a day of rest. I'll never forget, my student charge was in the Maritimes, not student charge, my first pastoral charge was in the Maritimes. Okay, so there I am out east, and I'm talking to an elderly woman, and she tells me a story. And think about this for a minute. She asked me, do you think God will understand that I had run out of diapers back then, you know, no disposable diapers? It's an older woman, her son's fully grown now. You know, do you think God will understand that I had to wash out diapers on Sunday and hang them out on the line so that my Johnny would have clean diapers? Think about that for a moment. Like 40 years later, this is still on her mind. Wow. I said, you're forgiven. God will understand. The gospel of grace over against the gospel of law. And it wasn't just in Judaism. It's right here in Christianity too. You see, John is writing this near the end of his life. John's gospel is the last to be written, probably 50, 60 years after Jesus' death and resurrection. It was certainly after the Romans came and destroyed the synagogues, destroyed Jerusalem. In times of crisis, what do? Do you expand and get new ideas, or do you hunker down to the old ones? You hunker down to the old ones. So anyone who believed in Jesus was kicked out of the synagogue. Read the story of the man born blind in John chapter 9. It is believed that John is written in a certain style where the center story of the gospel, John chapter 9, is what the context, what this whole gospel was written for. Okay? So we can't carry that forward into ourselves, into our time. We have to remember the context. But here's John reflecting on a life well lived, a life of service to the stories of Jesus in his life. And he saw something he may not have noticed at first, but at the end of his life he came to realize that for him, life without Jesus was dull, flat, routine. But that life with Jesus afterwards was vivid, alive, sparkling, an adventure full of joy, full of meaning, full of purpose, a joy that would never run out. Wow, think of that. Now, do you think that it was always easy for John? No. Do you think things always turned out the way John wanted them to? No. But he had come to believe in an assurance of God's grace and love that never ran dry in his life. And that was a joy, a pearl of great price, something beyond measure, and he offered it to others. Because at the end of the gospel, there's the extra chapter they thought was later. It said there's many things written in this book, and if they were all written down, the world could not hold all the stories. He wanted to invite others into a joy-filled, grace-filled, loving life. Not a perfect life, not one without difficulties, but one with joy and one with grace and love. Thanks be to God. Amen. We're trying a new song this morning. It's in that soft-covered More Voices book,